welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. Mark Livonier, your host for An Hour of Romance. Later on, it's the Frontline Theater from 1944, but first a broadcast of the Academy Award Theater as they take on an adaptation of The White Cliffs of Dover. Originally starring Irene Dunne, she reprises her role as Susan Ashwood in the CBS episode from September 18, 1946.
Academy Award. Every week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest. The great picture plays, the great actors and actresses, techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. Now, E.R. Squibb and Sons, manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858, bring you the distinguished actress Irene Dunne, who has four times been nominated for the Academy Award as Best Actress of the Year. You will hear her tonight starring in The White Cliffs of Dover with Sir Aubrey Smith. Both Miss Dunne and Sir Aubrey Smith will play the roles they created on the screen in this dramatic picture, which for Best Photography of the Year was nominated for the 1944 Academy Award.
I have loved England dearly and deeply since that first morning, shining and pure, the white cliffs of Dover I saw rising steeply out of the sea that once made her secure. I have loved England, and still as a stranger, here is my home, and I still am alone. Now in her hour of trial and danger, only the English are really her own.
Susan, I'm so glad you're on duty. I wanted to talk to you.
Please do, Colonel Orange.
Have you heard from your son?
He phoned to say his leave was canceled. I've heard nothing since. It's 5 days now. I'm terribly worried.
Naturally. We've not heard from our boys either. Well, I suppose you were told to stand by for emergency.
Yes.
This is confidential, Susan. I've been notified by the General's aide to prepare for casualties within the next 24 hours. He anticipates a possible 5,000.
So many. I suppose I mustn't ask questions.
Your guess is as good as mine. Obviously a big show. And we have such a little hospital here.
Invasion?
Hardly. Raid on the French coast, possibly. On a big scale by the sound of it.
Is that...
Yes, I think so. They usually start at dawn.
Cigarette?
No, thanks. I don't seem to want it. I guess I'm hit all right.
No pain?
No. Maybe it's like this before you. Funny to think of coming all the way from Iowa to die in a place like this. What do they call it?
Dieppe.
Yeah, Dieppe. You're English, aren't you?
More or less. My mother was American.
You're wounded, too. Bad?
I think so.
Well, we're out of it.
Yeah. But I say, better start rolling away. An Nazi dive bomber.
I have loved England dearly and deeply since that first morning, shining and pure, the white cliffs of Dover I saw rising steeply out of the sea that once made her secure. I had no thought then of husband or lover. I was a traveler, the guest of a week.
Please tell me, young lady, you came 3,000 miles to spend 2 weeks in the bedroom of a Bloomsbury boarding house?
Don't rub it in, Colonel Morris.
But my dear child, you must stay over. Say something of England. Why, this is April. April 1914.
Well, I've seen a great deal of London. The British Museum, the National Portrait Gallery.
Oh, and great heavens. British Museum, eh? Saw the mummies, what? Been to any shows? Any dances?
No, I'm afraid my father...
Speaking of dancing, I'm afraid I can't play cards tonight. It's the night of Millicent Waverley's ball. Thought I might go this time. There the king and queen are going.
Have you received your invitation, Colonel?
No, by Jove, I haven't. I must give Millicent a ring. Care to come to this shindig with me tonight?
You mean...
I don't know if that sort of thing interests you, but everybody will be there, from the king down.
Neglecting me.
I haven't been in tail since your last, Millicent. This is Miss Susan Dunn of the United States, Duchess of Waverley.
My dear, I'm so glad you could come.
Thank you.
Nothing less would have brought this old bear out. See that he gets you some acceptable partner.
Enjoyed myself so much for years.
Oh, you dance lightly as a feather, Colonel.
You're very kind. Now, for dancing with me, you're going to have your reward. I'm going to find a delightful young man for you to dance with. Back in a moment with a captive. Don't run off. John Ashwell! Oh, well met. The very man I'm looking for.
Glad to see you, sir. Oh, it's been ages.
I brought a girl. Oh, charming girl. Promise her a topping partner. Now, you fill the bill.
Well, fact is, sir, I have a sort of appointment. Bertie's cousin from Australia. Girl I've never seen. He can't get here till later. I promised I'd take care of her.
Well, how are you going to find her if you've never seen her?
I'm to wait in the Adam room. It's early yet, but I want to be the first on the scene.
In the Adam room, eh? You know where the Adam room is? See there, my boy. That double door behind the palm. That's what you're looking for.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'm sorry I can't oblige, but duty must be done, eh?
Oh, of course. Well, good hunting.
Oh. Hello. You must be Bertie's cousin, Nancy. I'm John Ashwood. I hope I haven't kept you waiting.
Well, No, not at all.
I came early. I thought I'd be the first. It's awful to be hanging around when you don't know anyone.
Yes, isn't it? Oh, I suppose the Colonel sent you.
No, Bertie sent me. He told me to tell you that he'd be late. He's detained at the Foreign Office. The weekly crisis, I suppose. He said you were not to wait supper for him, but to try and behave as if I were he. Do you think you can?
Well, yes, I'm sure, quite easily, but I'm afraid...
I hear this is your first visit to England.
Yes, it is.
And you're not staying very long.
No, indeed. No time at all. In fact...
Oh, that's too bad. We must make the most of it, mustn't we? May I have the pleasure of this dance?
Why, yes, I should love to.
This is my favorite waltz.
Mine, too.
Splendid.
Why did it stop?
The king and queen.
The king and queen. Oh, what shall I do?
Just curtsy.
But I...
Shh. Here they come.
Did I do all right?
Wonderful.
Oh, you must think I'm dreadfully awkward, but we don't do that sort of thing at home.
You haven't been presented at court?
Good gracious, no. I'm just a small town girl.
But, Bertie said you were Australian.
Oh, yes, of course. And all the excitement I'd forgotten. I'm not Nancy. I'm not Bertie's Australian cousin. I'm an imposter.
Good heavens, I say. Are you really? Well, who are you?
Nobody in particular. I come from a dull little town called Tulliver, in the smallest state in the USA.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
Well, you didn't give me much time. Besides, I sort of wanted to dance with you.
Oh, did you? Oh, good. I say, that's splendid. Are you living in London?
No, we're going home tomorrow.
But I've just met you. You can't go back tomorrow. I can't allow it. You don't want to. Do you?
No, I don't, but my father does. You see, it's rained every day, and he's a bit prejudiced about England anyway.
Now, look here. I'd like to talk to your father, get him to let you stay. You simply can't go away now. Good morning, Miss Dunn.
Oh, dear.
Good morning, sir. I know this is not an opportune moment, and I hope you'll forgive me.
Father, this is Sir John Ashwood. He brought me home last night.
Glad to meet you. Sorry we haven't more time. Fact is, we're a bit rushed. Our train leaves at 10.
Mr. Dunn, my mother lives in Devon, and at any moment she may call you on the telephone.
Yes.
My mother would be delighted if you and Miss Dunn could spend a week or two with us, see some typical English country life.
Hold on there. It's out of the question. Good heavens, man, we're practically on the train, and we don't know your mother. She doesn't know us.
I've come for the trunk, Governor.
Right there. Now, I'm sorry, mister, but I run a newspaper, and I've got to get back to it.
Mr. Dunn, a telephone call, sir. Lady Jean Ashton.
Tell her I've gone. Tell her... Susan, why do you stand there like a wooden Indian? Say something. Tell this obstinate young man that you can't go. Tell him you don't want to stay.
But I do, Father.
What?
I want to very much.
You see,
sir... Get out of this.
Your cab, sir.
I'm holding the line.
And let me stay a week or so, Father. You go back alone.
Well, of all the unfeeling...
Just a few weeks, sir.
I'll catch the next boat.
We'll take care of her, sir.
The
I
cab,
promise.
Sir.
The phone, Mr. Dunn.
Holy mackerel. Hello. Dunn speaking. Hiram P. Dunn.
And this about winds up our tour of the old place, Sue. Except for the portraits. I'm not going to bother you with the others, but this gorgeous officer is the present baronet and your humble servant.
Oh, it's so beautiful, all of it. Like a dream.
Me too.
You too.
I'd like to show you everything in this world. We'd begin with England. We'll drive down the Roman roads where Caesar's legions marched and follow Chaucer's steps to Canterbury. I'll show you the Isle of Avalon, where King Arthur died and the Holy Grail is buried. Places with lovely names. St. Just of Roseland, where Henry VIII honeymooned with Anne Boleyn, and Tintagel, where Iseult waited for a white sail. Jolly places. There's a moat at Wells where the swans swim and ring a bell for dinner when they're hungry. I say, you're crying.
I'm not. At least, I don't want to.
You see that space on the wall near my portrait? That's where my wife's portrait will hang.
You must have often wondered what she'd be like.
I have. Until a few days ago. Then I began to hope that she'd be tall and fair, with a mind of her own, and that when my great-grandson showed visitors her portrait, he'd say, "My great-grandmother. Lovely, isn't she?" She was an American.
Oh, John.
Oh, well, you must have known. I've been out of my mind since I peeped behind that potted palm and saw you in the Adam room. I meant to wait to give you more time, but it's out now.
And... you're wondering what I'll say.
Yes. What will you say?
I think, John, if your great-grandson is to show his friends that portrait, it'd best be about finding a good artist. And the stars brighten, and their eyes are clear to see God's image in their common clay. Is it the music of the spheres they hear in this sweet prelude to that noble play, the drama of joined lives? Ah, they forget. They cannot write their parts. The bell has rung, the curtain rises, and the stage is set for tragedy. They were in love and young.
My darling, the car's waiting. You'd better slip away and change.
I will, but I'll dread each wasted moment away from you.
Oh, it was the most wonderful wedding in the world. I shall never, never, never marry anyone but you.
Oh, yeah.
I say a toast.
Yeah.
I think it's high time we drank to the union
of the old world and the new, to our dear young friend and the charming lady who said with Ruth of old, "Thy people shall be my people." Ladies and gentlemen, to the health and happiness of Sir John and Lady Ashwood.
Just a moment, John. Forgive me for bringing bad news. John, this came for you. Telegram from the War Office.
John, what is it?
What is it, Colonel? A joke?
No joke, sir. England's at war.
He got leave after months in the filthy trenches. My love sent for me, and I crossed the channel to meet him in the little French hotel at Dieppe. We heard the sea murmur. We saw the full moon wane, knowing that our happiness might never come again. I, not forgetting, till death do us part, was outrageously happy with death in my heart.
My love, to be here, I just don't have the words.
We don't need words, John. Look, the moon.
One would think there was no war going on. Well, we can't spend what's left of my leave on the view. I'm hungry. And there's the champagne.
Of course, dear.
It's grand that you and Mother hit it off so well. Does she bully you?
She does. To hear her, you'd think I was doing it just to be contrary, because I'm an American.
Doing what?
Well, I should say not doing it.
Not doing what?
Well, John.
Sue, you're blushing.
Come to that, you look pretty pink yourself.
I say, this wouldn't have anything to do with young Percy, would it?
John, Percy?
The eldest son's always called Percy, dear.
Not my eldest.
Our eldest.
But I don't like the name Percy.
Well, I don't like it very much myself. But the eldest son's always called Percy.
Why?
Tradition.
My boy will be called after the man I love, his father, and his name will be John.
I am sorry, monsieur, but you asked me to call if the message came. It has come.
No.
Oh, no, my darling.
No. No, I won't let you go back. I won't. I won't let you go back and be murdered. You can't. Don't you see? Not now.
Oh, my darling, darling. I don't want to leave paradise. I have no choice. Come on, one more glass. One for the road back to hell.
Susan, my dear. At last you've come to London for the great event, eh? Where's that boy of yours?
Here he is, John Ashwood, Esquire.
So this is John's boy.
And mine too, Colonel.
Fine lad. It looks like John. If it hadn't been for me, you know, I have a bit of a share in this young fellow.
Of course, dear friend. You brought us together that wonderful night at the ball.
Ah, here they come.
Let me lift Johnny up. Look, my child. Look, young man. Those are your mother's people. See how well they march. Your mother's people and yours, too. Because you're half a Yankee, you little Englishman, and I'm never going to let you forget it. Wave your hand, Johnny. Wave your hand.
I can't hear you. Hello. Hello. Ashford? Is that the manor house? Who is this? Oh, I can't hear. Infernal racket here. I say, have you heard the news? Oh, pity. Thought I'd be the first to tell you it. Wonderful, it's over, eh? Yes, armistice.
You should hear it here in London. The town's gone mad.
Let me speak to her. Lady Ashwood, I mean. Huh? I don't hear you. Speak up.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, my God. Oh. Great heavens. No. What can I say? What can I say? John dead?
I do not remember the words that they said. Killed, Dewey, November. I knew John was dead. All done and over that day long ago. The white cliffs of Dover. Little did I know.
Ah, look at the fat legs of him. I declare I never saw one grow so fast. Not yet a year old.
Yes, he's fine and strong, my baby. He'll grow up tall and straight, and he'll go into the army. The eldest sons always go into the army. It's a family tradition. A tradition to die young in a country not your own. A tradition to die young for honor and glory. But my baby will live out his life. I'll teach him to run and hide when the drums start playing. I'll keep him safe. I don't know how, but I'll keep him safe. Do you understand? And then again to see in anguish and in doubt the lights of Europe falter and go out. And once again the feet of marching men drum in the darkness. Once again. Our days were busy with a thousand cares. Our nights were dark and quiet with our prayers.
They're here, the wounded. It was Dieppe, Susan, and bad. Only a handful have come back.
Not my boy.
Yes, Susan. He was there.
Where is he?
In there on the cot.
My John. At Dieppe? No, no.
Susan.
How bad is he?
Bad.
How long?
A few hours.
Hello, Mother.
John.
I have a letter an American boy gave me before we got it over there. Dieppe. Mail it, will you?
It's not readable, I'm afraid.
Oh, yes, bloody, you mean. Will you write her another?
Yes, dear.
Good. You know, it's funny to think I never saw your home. I wish I had. And then I'd know how close we were. The chap, that American...
Yes.
He said he'd really start to fight the day the war ended for a good peace. A peace that would stick, that nobody could kick around. You see, he didn't know he was going to die. He didn't know.
Yes, dear. He didn't know. And I'll write a letter to his mother.
Tell her he did very well.
Yes, I'll tell her.
Hey, you've got to go now. There's work for you to do. I'll be all right. Good night, Mother. And thanks.
Good night, my darling boy. And God bless you. God keep you. Amen. I have loved England dearly, And dearly, too, husband and son. Now at the end, I know they would have me do what must still be done. I was American-born and American-bred from a hickory shore. We shall not turn away from the dead as we did before. We shall not turn away till the air is bright and the day is set. They had a dream like glory and morning light, and we have it yet.
Wednesday, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award Guest in the House with Anita Louise, Joan Loring, and Kirk Douglas. Today's performance of The White Cliffs of Dover was written for radio by Frank Wilson, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Leith Stevens.
The Academy Award Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 18th of September, 1946 on CBS. That story, The White Cliffs of Dover, was actually first a poem penned by Alice Dewar Miller. Movie actor and occasional radio player Ronald Coleman actually owned the rights to the poem, and when he sold them to Clarence Brown, Brown approached MGM Studios with the idea for a spun-out story and also offered to direct, which he did. This is an hour of romance on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for another movie adaptation, this time 1934's The Gay Divorcee. Originally starring Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, some famous players appear in this adaptation next. Heard on the Armed Forces Radio Service on March 6th, 1944.
Frontline Theater presents an amusing musical, The Gay Divorcee, starring Frank Sinatra, Gloria DeHaven, Edward Everett Horton, and Spring Byington. And as an additional treat, there's some intermission music by The Voice himself. Welcome to Frontline Theater, men. This is your theater, and every performance is presented especially for you, the men and women of the United Nations. Our musical play tonight, The Gay Divorcee, stars Frank Sinatra as Guy Holden, Gloria DeHaven as Mimi, Spring Byington as Hortense, and Edward Everett Horton as Egbert. And now, as the curtain rises, we find that these are the good old days, when Americans just went to Europe for fun. And that's exactly why Guy Holden is there. With an English pal, he's doing a famous Paris cafe, and the owner doesn't seem to approve.
Gentlemen, the check comes to 40 francs. I must insist.
But I just told you, we're taking the boat back to London tomorrow, and we both packed our wallets in our trunks.
We'll mail you the amount of the check, old boy.
I am sorry, monsieur, but I do not know you.
Oh, this is Egbert Fitzgerald. His father is Sir Frederick, the famous London attorney.
And I'm a barrister, too.
You? No, gentlemen, I'm sorry, but...
My friend here is Guy Holden, the American singer. Radio, musical, comedy, and whatnot. Of course you've heard of him.
Of course I have heard of Guy Holden, but... Monsieur Holden, can you identify yourself?
Well, you see, as a matter of fact,
Yes, you left your papers in another suit.
Oh, my word, Guy, I know. You can prove who you are. Just dash him off a cadenza or two.
Well, it's been a long time since I sang for my supper, but under the circumstances. Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon.
It is. It is him, Guy Holden. My apologies, monsieur. I tear up the chain. I wish you bon voyage to London.
It's no matter, darling, where you are. I think of you.
Oh, really, Inspector, now isn't this carrying things a little too far, going through all my trunks? Messing up everything, all my pretty things.
I'm sorry, madam. It's for customs inspection.
Oh, well, if it's an old English customs.
Well, how much did you pay for this dress, madam?
That one? Now, let me see.
Now, where did you buy it?
Well, I bought it in, now, what was the name of that town? Oh, you know.
Paris?
No.
Lyon.
No, but you're getting close.
Nice?
Nice? Oh, yes. That's who I'm waiting for, my niece, Mimi. The poor thing has her life all mixed up. I came up to London to straighten her out.
Madam, I'm afraid you'll have to straighten this out first. I think we'd better go.
Auntie, Aunt Hortense.
Mimi.
Darling, you look wonderful. Did you have a good trip?
Oh, simply marvelous. Darling, there was a man in Paris.
Excuse me, madam. You better come to the office. We can settle the duty there.
Oh, but my trunk, it's all over. Oh, I'll just close it up. Mimi, darling, stay with it, will you? Come along, my good man.
Good old Hortense. She hasn't changed a bit. Though.
Excuse me, miss. Can I be of service?
I beg your pardon?
I was just going by, you see, to have my baggage examined and...
Well, what stopped you?
Your legs. I mean, they're showing. I mean, that is, well, your dress is caught in that trunk.
My dress? Oh, Lord, and Hortense took the key.
Say, you're an American, aren't you?
I see no reason why that should...
I'm an American, too. Believe me, I'm happy to give you a hand. Here, would you like to hold my raincoat a minute?
Not particularly.
Doesn't look like your dress is caught too tight. Maybe I can ease it out. Maybe if I just pulled a little.
No, don't pull. Don't pull it. Don't. Oh, you... The whole back of my dress.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Here, put my raincoat on. Go ahead, it's all right. You can send it back tomorrow.
Thanks a lot. I won't forget this great service you've done me. Now, if you'll excuse me, please.
Hey, wait a minute. You didn't say goodbye.
Didn't I? Well, it's a pleasure. Goodbye.
I tell you, Egbert, it's love. It's love for the first time in my life.
Anyone I know, old boy?
That's just it. I don't even know her name, where she lives, or anything about her.
That makes it a little abstract, doesn't it?
I can just see how it will all happen. She'll send me a note. I'll call her up, ask her to dinner.
You're positive that she'll send you this little billy-doo?
No, but she'll have to send my raincoat back, and I'm sure she'll send a note with it.
Of course she has the right address.
Oh, sure, she... Hey, no, she didn't even ask me my name.
Oh, the thoughtless type, no doubt, huh?
Gee, maybe she was angry because I tore her dress off.
Oh, impulsive. Impulsive, aren't you? Why'd you do that?
She couldn't move.
Well, that sounds very unsporting.
But, Egbert, you don't understand. It was purely an accident.
Yes, it usually is. Well, I'm off to the office. The pater's away, you know, left me in charge. What are you going to do?
Start looking for her. I'll find her if it takes the rest of my life.
Cheerio. Good luck, old boy.
Why shouldn't I? What's so tough about that? There are only 3 million girls in London.
I'll follow my secret heart my whole life through. I'll keep all my dreams apart till one comes true. No matter what price is paid, what stars may fade above, I'll follow my secret heart till I find love.
Oh, miss, I'm looking for...
Excuse me.
Oh, miss, I...
Excuse me.
Oh, miss.
Huh?
Excuse me.
Ditherwell here to see you with her niece.
Ditherwell? I don't seem to know it. Oh, my word. Not Hortense Ditherwell. Oh,
Egbert, darling.
Oh.
Oh, Egbert, my land. You darling, darling
Aunt
boy.
Hortense.
Oh, now, don't be sharp, Mimi. Egbert was almost my third husband. Or was it the fourth?
Oh, now, Hortense, please.
Oh, Egbert, this is my niece, Mrs. Glossop. I brought her here to see you professionally.
Oh, really? Have you a problem, Mrs. Glossop?
Yes, I hardly know where to begin.
Now, darling, I'll tell him. You see, she's very young. She's only been married a year and has scarcely seen her husband at all. He's a geometrist.
No, dear, a geologist.
Oh, well, what's the difference? He's no gentleman. Egbert, you know the type. Rocks and things.
Oh, really? He throws them?
Oh, no. Digs them.
Oh.
I've asked him for a divorce, and he just refuses.
Well, ladies, in that case, I suggest that we revert to a thingamajig.
A graziadito, like my second divorce?
Oh, exactly, yes. The details are very simple.
Darling, all you need is a hotel and a correspondent. Not that you write a line, my dear.
I'll supply the correspondent, of course, and I believe I know just the right place at the seaside, the Hotel Bella Vista.
Oh, excellent, the yes. Bella Vista, and so easy to remember, too. I had a cook named Bella. Oh, no, it was a missus. No, a housemaid. On second thought, I think...
We'll go down at once, Mr. Fitzgerald. I feel very safe in your hands.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Gloucester, thank you. I'll work my brain to the bone for you. Yes, indeed. Now, Hortense, now everything is clear.
Oh, yes, indeed, the Hotel Rosemont. No, that isn't it. But it was a girl's name now. Don't tell me. It's on the tip of my tongue. The Maggie. No, the Nellie.
Here. Yeah, I've written it down for you.
Oh, the Bella Vista, of course. Well, that's what I said in the first place. Come along, Mimi.
Hello. Miss Higginbotham.
Yes, Mr. Fitzgerald.
Will you get hold of that Tonetti fellow for me? You know, the chap that we always use as a correspondent, and tell him to take the afternoon train and go to the Hotel Mary. The Nellie. That woman. No. The Bella Vista. Don't tell me. I'm putting him to work on another case. Oh, it's wonderful down here. Wonderful, isn't it, Guy? So helpful, too. Sea air, sunshine. Girls.
There's only one girl I want to see.
Oh, come now. The world is full of girls.
Not like her. She's music, Egbert. She's the murmur of bees and clover. She's water lapping on the shore.
Well, she's a strange series of sounds, isn't she? Well, now, come on, Guy. There's no use in moping. You may chance across her again.
I know I will, and it won't be chance. Chance is the fool's name for fate.
Oh, my. Chance is the fool's name... Oh, I say, that's not bad at all. Where'd you get that?
Oh, it's a line from my last radio program.
Oh, it's tangy, isn't it? Nice to drop into a conversation sometime, you know. Chance is the... Do you mind if I use it?
Not at all.
Oh, well, I'm popping over to see my client, and I won't be long. Chance is the fool's name for... Oh, my, I've got to remember that. Oh. Mrs. Glossop, your correspondent is on his way here now. You understand, I presume?
Yes, Mr. Fitzgerald, I understand.
Of course, it wouldn't be technically correct for me to introduce you, so he'll present himself.
Oh, why, then we'll need a password. Well, how thrilling.
Yes, I suppose we ought to have one. I know the very thing. Mrs. Glossop, he will say to you, chance is the fool's name for fate.
Chance is the fool's name for fate.
Right. And now we'll need a name. You should have a name. Your name will be Mrs. Green.
Oh, I just love green. So soothing, so restful. Mimi, do you think he'll approach us during dinner?
Uh-uh. Hortense, you can't remain with her. This is supposed to be a rendezvous. Two is company. Three isn't a rendezvous. After all, we've got to have a flagrante delecto.
Egbert, not in the dining room. Come along, Mimi. I'm simply famished.
Begging your pardon, can I help you, sir?
I don't think so, waiter. There's only one person in the world can help me.
We have crumpets, sir.
Is it serious?
Begging your pardon, sir. That's very whimsical.
What?
Whimsical, sir. Like Sir James Barry.
Don't you mean whimsical?
In a manner of speaking, sir, but begging your pardon, whimsical is much more whimsical than Oh, I say, sir. Is anything wrong?
That girl over there across the room, she's... See the one I mean?
Yes, sir. And I do believe she's seen you. Begging your pardon, sir, she's starting to run.
I knew you'd have to stop sometime. You really shouldn't run like this.
Why not?
It's bad for my health.
Well, what are you doing here?
What are you?
I'm down here with my aunt.
So am I, in a way, with my aunt Egbert.
Egbert?
A lawyer friend of mine. We're here on a case.
A case? I'll have to go now.
Why don't you stop running away from me? When two people are destined to come together, there's no use struggling.
You believe in that kind of destiny?
Of course I do. There's no such thing as chance. Chance is the fool's name for fate.
Chance is the fool's name for... You? You?
Me? Of course it is.
You're the man I've been waiting for.
I am?
Room 216 at midnight. You'll excuse me now.
She's expecting me.
No matter what price is paid,
what stars may fade above. I'll follow my secret heart till I
One of The Gay Divorcee, starring Frank Sinatra, Gloria DeHaven, Spring Byington, and Edward Everett Horton. Well, it's midnight now. Guy timidly approaches room 216 and is just about to enter.
Oh,
I beg your pardon.
Oh, it's all right, young man. I knew you were coming.
You did?
I'm Mimi's aunt.
Oh, is that her name, Mimi?
Yes, Mimi Glossop. Though, of course, tonight she's green.
I feel a little pink myself.
Well, you might as well go in and get this over with, and then the poor girl can start a new life.
A new life?
Yes, yeah, she's making a clean sweep of the old, and you're the broom. Go ahead, Ian.
Mimi.
I'll be right out. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Well, what's the matter?
Nothing. That negligee is charming.
You ought to know. You've seen enough of them.
Well, a few, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But never one like that. Mimi, darling.
Stay where you are.
Huh?
You keep your distance and I'll keep mine. We're going through this in a dignified silence.
No conversation?
No conversation.
No,
Absolutely not.
Oh. Time on my hands, you in my arms.
Do you have to sing?
Well, it's helped a little in the past.
Time on my hand, you in my arms, nothing but love in view, and if you fall, once and for all, I'll see my dreams come true. Moments to spare with someone you care for. One love affair for two. Time on my hand. And you in my arms, and love in my heart, all for you.
Well, I must admit it's not a bad voice. I suppose it does help you a lot in your profession.
Oh, I get along.
That's what I don't understand about you. How did you ever start such a career?
Oh, I was started by a well-known radio star.
Oh, it's disgusting. But I suppose some people will do anything for money.
Oh, it's not quite as bad as that. After all, I do give pleasure to thousands of women.
Thousands? It's worse than I thought it was.
Listen, say, are you expecting someone?
Of course. Come in.
Excuse me. I am Antonetti. I am afraid to take foolish chances with.
What did you say?
It is the passwords, no? Mr. Eggerboyle, tell me.
Oh, good heavens. Then you're the man.
Mimi, who is this guy?
Oh, there's been a dreadful mistake. This man was hired by Mr. Fitzgerald.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you Egbert's client?
Yes.
And this spaghetti eater has to stay all night until the detectives come?
Yes.
Well, it's okay with me, baby, but I want to tell you one thing. If that guy stays, this guy does, too. Sort of nice out here on the balcony, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Very nice.
What's Spaghetti doing in there?
Playing solitaire. He says he always does when he's on a job. You can hear the music from the casino, can't you? What's that they're playing?
It's the Continental. It's very popular.
How does it go?
Well, we should be dancing, but if you'll move over here a little closer.
Beautiful music. Dangerous rhythm. It's something daring, the Continental. A way of dancing that's really ultra new.
It's very subtle, the Continental, because it does what you want it to do.
You kiss while you're dancing, the Continental. It's Continental.
You sing while you're dancing. The voice is gentle and sentimental. You know before the dance is through
that you're in love with her and she's in love with you. You'll find while you're dancing that there's a rhythm in your heart and soul, a certain rhythm that you can't control, and you will do the Continental all the time. Beautiful music, dangerous rhythm.
That was nice. I liked it.
Did you?
You know, it's strange. In a way, you remind me of my favorite radio singer.
Really? Who?
Frank Sinatra.
Listen, Mimi, there's something I've simply got to tell you.
Excuse me, please. I think I'd better go to my room and go to sleep.
But what about me?
Oh, you can play solitaire with Mr. Spaghetti.
You mean he's really going to stay here all night?
That's the whole idea. If you stay, he stays too. Good night.
Hey, Spaghetti, wake up. Wake up, Spaghetti.
Please, the name is Tonetti.
Who's there?
It's the waiter, sir.
What do you want?
Mr. Sir.
What should we do?
Give him his breakfast.
Clown. That's our breakfast. I just phoned for it. All right, waiter.
Where shall I serve it, madam?
Oh, anywhere. It doesn't matter. I just...
Here we are. Here we are, Mimi, bright and early.
Mr. Fitzgerald and Aunt Hortense.
Mimi, darling, he's here.
The detective?
No, no. I've pulled a supreme coup, a masterpiece. I have brought Mr. Glossop.
My husband?
Oh, there you are, my dear.
Oh, come in, Rupert. This is Mr. Tonetti. I must confess, he's my...
How are you, Tonetti? Glad to meet you, old man.
Why, Rupert, you seem so pleased. Aren't you even outraged?
I should say not. I can see through this fellow. He's one of those hard correspondents.
Look here, you can't do this to Mimi.
My dear fellow, I don't see that it concerns you. Waiter, I believe I'll have a cup of coffee.
Yes, sir. I have an extra cup here, Mr. Brown.
Wait a minute, his name isn't Brown, it's Glossop.
Oh, no, sir, begging your pardon, sir. I know Mr. Brown very well.
Now, look here, waiter.
I'm sure you remember me, Mr. Brown. I always serve you when you come here with your wife.
His wife? Waiter, does she look like me?
Oh, no, ma'am. She's brunette and very French.
Well, cut my hair and call me Buster Brown.
Rupert, I believe that will give me my divorce.
Excuse me, I've got to catch a train.
Well, it worked. Mimi, you'll be single again.
But not for long. Egbert, meet the future Mrs. Guy Holden.
Guy Holden? The singer?
Well, that's what I like to call it, darling. But from now on, I'll just be singing for you.
Night and day, you are the one. Only you beneath the moon, under the sun. Whether near to me or far, it's no matter, darling. where you are, I think of you. Day and night, night and day. Why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you. Day and night, night and day, under the hide of me, there's an all such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through if you let me spend my life making love to you. Day and night, night and day.
Down rings the final curtain on tonight's Frontline Theater presentation of The Gay Divorcee.
The Frontline Theater on Tuned 2 yesterday from the Armed Forces Radio Service, heard on March 6th, 1944. Wrapping up this hour of romance on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for tuning in.